We're starting a new sermon series. We'll be looking at this idea of living your faith, building your future for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And there are sermon notes you can pull out and follow along. We're going to start with hearing from Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of the central passages in the Reformation of saying, hey, we feel like the church has gotten a little off track. Let's bring it back, recognizing the faith element. And this passage guided some of those reformers of the church. So here, Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in the ways you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Faith, it's a matter of life and death. We often see that in movies, especially action movies, where somebody's like, do you trust me? Or, you know, trust me, jump. Or there's this idea of having faith in something or someone and how that can save us. Faith on the spiritual level truly is a matter of life and death. What do we put our life's trust into? And Hebrews has a whole chapter 11, about faith and the people who had faith. And it defines faith in this way. So if you're following along in your sermon notes, you can fill in this. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Well, I hope this happens. It's the assurance of it. It moves beyond just wishful thinking, but to being sure about something. And the conviction of things not seen. Again, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when He raised up from the dead? No, we did not see that. But we can have a conviction about it, but only through faith. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. A matter of life and death. Now, through faith, we can be alive in Christ. How do we understand it? I want to put out three similes this morning. Faith is like, all right? So faith is like a gift, faith is like a rock, and faith is like a muscle. So the question that I have is to start with, faith, it sounds important, it sounds good. Well, how do we get faith? How do we get faith? And what I want to say, and I don't really like this answer, is you can't. You can't go out and get faith. How do I get faith? How does someone I love get faith? How does my child get faith? How does my parent get faith? How does my sister get faith? You know, we want all these people to get faith and embrace faith. Well, how do you go out and do it? Get faith. Well, faith is spiritual. And the Bible says that without God, we are spiritually dead. Ephesians starts, as you were dead in your transgressions. You're spiritually dead. The spiritually dead can't hope. The spiritually dead can't believe. The spiritually dead can't know the spiritual. They're separated by the spiritual death. And so we need a gift from God. We need God to step in and say, I'm going to bring you alive. Faith is a gift of God. It's something where we are dead and we're made alive. I want to think about spring a little bit. As I said, hey, we looked at the forecast. Hey, things are going to start growing. So yesterday, Jennifer went and pulled out our seeds, and she took little packets like this and opened them up. And, well, not cucumbers. I don't think you started cucumbers. But tomatoes, peppers, things you want to start in advance. And put out the trays and got the potting soil and put the seeds in there, watered it, put the plastic cover over it. And those seeds are going to come alive. But right now, these seeds are pretty much dead. If they stay in this packet, or if I just throw them on the ground here inside, they're just dead. It takes an outside act to water them, to provide the right temperature, to provide the right moisture, to provide the right environment. And then, if they're given that moisture, they can come alive. But before that, they're dead. It's sort of like people. We're all the potential is there in every one of us. Every person on the planet has this spiritual potential, but it's like we're locked up and dry and dead. And God can come along and say, here, let me put some water in this. Let me put this. And all of a sudden, that spiritual potential is released. But it takes the outside act. It takes the gift of water, of God saying, I'm going to give you something and make you spiritually alive. What does it say in Ephesians 2:8? It says, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is a gift from God. So really, faith is not just like a gift. Faith is a gift. So it's not really technically a simile, but faith is a gift from God. Now, in our family, we like gift giving. I don't know about any of you. Friday was Corbin's party, and there were all sorts of presents, and he was so excited to be getting gifts. So we were like, okay, at breakfast, after we're done with breakfast, you can open the family gifts. And he opened those then, and then we had a party, and Jashin lined up this amazing scavenger hunt, and they're going from our house to the church to the tennis courts, back to our house, and in and out, and it ended up getting to the presents that the kids had brought. And sometimes present giving, gift giving is a surprise. You know, you come, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Other time you know it's coming, and the anticipation of that gift is what makes it great. Sometimes it's formal and wrapped and presented. Other times it's like, hey, I just want to do something nice for you. Gift giving by nature can be very different. And with God, it's the same way. God does not have a formula. If you're following along, God does not have a formula for gift giving. God's a little bit hard to predict. There is no formula. I wish there was. I wish I could say, here are three easy steps to get faith. I had friends one time saying, oh, Dirk, you know, I wish I could believe like you do. And I wanted to say, oh, well, here's how you get this gift. But God does it in different ways to different people. So what do we do? How do we encourage people? How do we guide people? This is what I would suggest. That we need to be explaining to people our faith experience, what we've experienced in life, how we understand God, what we've learned from the Bible, what we've learned in our prayer life. We need to be explaining that. We need to be verbalizing our faith. We need to be encouraging people to pursue faith. Because if there's any interest, that interest is spiritual awakening. God is working in their lives. So we need to encourage people, but we also need to be willing to wait. A good friend of mine, about 5 years ago, he started coming to church, and I didn't know him before this, actually. That's how we became friends, and he was struggling, and he took a step of faith. And I'm like, yes! But then it didn't seem to go anywhere. And so I kept explaining, kept encouraging, but I just had to wait. And it wasn't until this year, 4 years later, that all of a sudden he's like, oh man, there's great stuff in the Bible. I've been reading the Bible. I can't put it down. And all of a sudden, that seed, it took some time to germinate before it sprouted up. And it took some time, even once it sprouted up, before it started bearing fruit. But now this guy's like, yeah, I want to share this with others. I want to encourage others. And all this time, I was praying for him as well. So it's not a passive waiting, but it's a patient waiting of those who we hope their faith grows and matures and blossoms and bears fruit. We explain, we encourage, we pray, but there is a waiting involved. Just before where we read in Ephesians, Paul said this. This is his prayer about getting a gift. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. That's Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. It's our prayer for those we love, that we can understand this confident hope, that's faith, that's been given to those he's called. It's a gift that's given in different ways, but it's also composed differently. So that's why I want to talk about faith is like a rock. Faith is like a rock, a foundation in life. So, earth science. If you grew up in New York State, you probably took earth science. Probably most everywhere you take earth science. There are three basic types of rock, and John Kiampa is away this weekend, so I don't have to have a geologist, you know, checking my facts here. But can anybody else, you know, tell me what are the three types of rocks? Or you can read in your sermon notes. Very good. Very good. See, that was a gimme question. For those following along in the sermon notes, they're right there. It's igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. Those are the three basic types of rock. So let's first see an igneous rock. An igneous rock is granite. Should be able to click on that slide yet again. It's going to do some funky stuff there. Just keep clicking when I say to. All right, so igneous, granite's an example. There are over 700 different types, and that's the rock that's underneath the molten magma that cools and becomes a rock. Then there's sedimentary, and we'll click on that. We'll see some sedimentary rocks. That's your shale, your sandstone, your limestone. It's stuffed, laid down, and then compacted into a rock. And then there's metamorphic, which you take some heat and pressure to either one of those, igneous or sedimentary, and it transforms it into yet another type of rock, a metamorphic rock. So what does this have to do? What do these three different types of rock have to do with biblical faith? The type of faith that says, yeah, I know that there's a God. I know that I need God and I'm incomplete on my own. A faith that says Jesus Christ was sent by God and he is the Son of the living God. A faith that turns my life from self-control to spirit control. A faith that's not just, oh, I believe it, but a faith that transforms your life. Faith is like a rock. It's that foundation. It's the permanency. What changes things. But think about, okay, which is the best kind of rock? Which rock is best? Now, there are some that we put a little more value on, but it depends what the situation is. It depends what you're doing with it. You do different things with granite than you do with sandstone. You do different things with marble than you do with a crystal. There's no best type of rock. They're different. And the same thing is true with our faith. Let's think about these rocks and how different our faith can be. That igneous rock that's formed underground, that's the molten magma that's cools. For some people, there's just a faith that's given to them that's deep in their gut, and it's just there. It's just there, and it's this rock solid faith that they have. For others, there's a rock solid faith that's sort of forming, but then it comes out into the earth and it's hit by the atmosphere and it becomes this sharp and dramatic volcanic type of rock. Different types of faith depending on how it's formed. Or sedimentary rock. I think this is what a lot of people who grow up in the church have, of just experience after experience after experience being laid down in our lives from childhood up. And it's laid in, and is it mud? Is it rock? I don't know. But at some point, the life pressure and the experience in life get to the point where all those experiences get laid down, and all of a sudden you say, wait, we have faith here. We have something solid. It's been turned from mud and silt into rock. But it's interesting to think about that metaphor of our faith being laid down in things, because in the process, something can happen and some of it can be eroded. Some of those experiences can come and be washed away before it's formed into a rock. And so it's fragile at times, but it can become something solid. But then there's metamorphic. And I think that's a great faith to have, of where you have something given to you by God, and then life, heat and pressure transform it into something different, into something new. Especially people who are Christians in hard places, in places where there's persecution, that they have a faith unlike others because there's so much heat and pressure that it transforms it into something amazing. I want to just take a second and think about limestone. Let's see a slide of limestone. Not very impressive. You know, it's soft, it's you know, you can carve it easily, but it's not such an impressive rock. But through the metamorphic process, limestone becomes marble. And marble, that's something that, oh, that's okay, but then you take marble and you put it in the hand of a master craftsman, a sculptor, and all of a sudden this limestone we weren't so excited about becomes something beautiful in the hand of the master. So think about your faith. Think about the faith of those you care about. Can you see these patterns? Maybe there's just this gift of a deep-seated, solid faith. Maybe it's faith laid down and then just pressured into something that's hard. Or maybe there's been an experience in life that has transformed that faith into something new and different, and God is even taking it further and making it something beautiful. Be grateful for the faith you have. Don't be saying, well, I wish I had that faith. I wish I had that faith. No, they're all different. They're all used in different ways. When we were in India, we saw an entire capital city made out of this red sandstone. It was just glorious. And all the carvings, it couldn't have been done at another type of rock. It was the right rock for that situation. And we celebrate the faith that we have. Finally, faith is like a muscle. Faith is like a muscle. Muscles exist for a purpose. Muscles exist to produce force and cause motion. Faith exists to produce change and cause motion. Muscles are a gift. You know, I didn't do anything to put a bicep there. And that bicep is there for a purpose, to cause motion, to produce force. But the thing about muscles is they need to be developed. Yes, yep, I'm given a bicep. What do I do with it? We develop them through use. You just grab some different images and you think about the different athletes, from the bodybuilders and the strength training to the endurance runners to the rock climbers. How you use your muscle starts to form what it is. Yes, there's some genetic disposition, but if, you know, okay, I want to do my bicep. Do I want endurance? Do I do light weights often? Or do I do strength and max out with heavy weights? Or do I do nothing and just end up with something sort of average? Okay, that might be the case. But faith is like a muscle. And we need to train. We need to use it. We need to develop our faith. You look at somebody, how do you have faith like that? Well, the same way, how does that endurance runner have the stamina like that? There's a thing called neovascularization that can happen within a muscle. And if you're an endurance runner, you know, normal, if I go running in probably a pathetically short amount of time, I'll be breathing really hard. But if I can push past that, my legs will seize up with lactic acid. Lactic acid gets in there and is beyond fatigue. It just freezes up the muscle. But if you train with endurance running, there's neovascularization, which takes the lactic acid out and can actually reuse it as energy. But that doesn't just happen. That's through training, through progress, through working towards a goal. And the same is true with faith. How can our missionaries in Niger leave the comforts of America, go to one of the poorest countries in Africa, and serve there, even in January where all these churches get burned down, houses get attacked, and they stay there? How can they have faith like that? They've trained just by following God in the little things and being faithful to God in the little things and then taking a step where God showed it. And the faith builds to the point where, just like a champion marathon runner, yeah, I'm going to go run 26 miles, no big deal. You know, now if they want to, you know, they've trained to the point where it becomes natural for them. And our faith can be that same way. We just keep taking the steps in front of us. But to do this, we need to use the faith given to us. We need to take the step that's in front of us. We need to build the endurance. We need to build the strength. We need to remember what God's done in the past. We need to worship God regularly in community and witness to God. We need to take the steps that God shows us. What is God showing you to do to step out in faith? And we need to be active. And that's what we're going to talk about, is living our faith. What does that look like? Next week, we're doing a pulpit swap. I'm heading to Blooming Grove Reformed Church. James Brum is going to come here. And he's going to be talking about this idea that unless faith is alive and active, it's dead. That's what the Bible says. That if it's not active, if we're not using it, it might as well not be anything. It's not really faith. So this idea of faith, I want you to think about this. It's helpful for us. It's helpful when questions come up of those we love. Faith is a gift that we encourage people for, we wait for, we pray for, and we explain our experience and allow God to give that and grow that in people. Faith is like a rock. It's going to be different for different people. Don't be judging people of, oh, their faith is this way. No, it's all a glorious composition that makes the world. And faith is like a muscle. We use it or it atrophies. Let us hear again Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is a gift from God. Not by works so that anybody can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works of faith, which God prepared in advance for us to do it. We believe God is guiding us. We allow God to guide us. We take those steps and we live this journey of faith using the gift of faith that God has given us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts you give us. More than anything else, the gift of faith, to believe which we do not see, to have a confident assurance in you and what you're doing in our lives and in this world. Help us to be bold enough to use what we have, whether it's small or large, to take the faith that you've given us and develop it into more. Thank you for this chance to come together with others, to worship you, to hear from you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.